boys. How are you doing? Chad, good to see you again, my
Hey,
man.
hello.
Two days in a row, bro.
Yeah.
Feeling good today?
I am.
Good man. Marty, great to meet you, man. You're working with Dan right now, yeah?
Great to meet you as well. It's the first time we've been face to face. I'm looking forward to this.
We have. Good to meet you.
Thank
I've
you.
heard good things. Heard good things.
They're all true.
I know, man. Dan doesn't lie, man. Don't worry about that. Straight shooter. I'm just making sure the recording is going. I think we have another body in as well. John's in as well. John, how are you doing, bro? You all good? I think you're muted, man.
Oh, I am muted. I said I'm doing well. I'm
Good,
taking a
man.
mini vacation starting tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Where are you going?
Just over to the Michigan side of Lake Michigan.
Oh, wonderful. Nice relaxing few days.
It'll be a few days. It'll be nice.
Beautiful, man. Good, good. Anybody else coming in? Thompson's in. Oh, mate, he's got his arms out. He's obviously training weights tonight. Look out.
I'm gonna go hide them.
Get him out, brother. Did you hit your delts today?
Monday.
Good, man. Did it feel different after the weekend with the little bit of tweaking on the lateral raises?
Yeah, a bit more soreness actually, which is good.
Attaboy. So boys, Thompson's working myself, and he actually lives in London, so it's only about 2 hours, 2.5 hours from me. So myself and Greg went down, did a little training session down in London, and we met up with Thompson. Had a great little tweak on his workouts. I actually got my hands on him and made sure he was in the right places, positions, and it's worked a treat for his delts. He's doing really well, to be fair. He's put on, I think, about 9 kilos now. He's done superbly well. But just like looking at those, just to being able to be there with you and just fine tuning those little positions, and just the light bulb kicks off. It was just fantastic to watch him achieve that one. And then we went to a cold plunge sauna place afterwards as well for a little bit of recovery. That was good. Although I hope Greg's going to watch this replay because he bottled the second cold plunge. So any of
He
you boys,
chickened out.
he chickened out on the second one. So we're not going to let him live it down. Big Irish beast, and you couldn't get in the cold plunge for the second time. Ken, great to see you, man. Hope you're well. Good to have you on the call. We got Clarky and Paul. Chris Clark's in too. So we got a nice few boys in today. And we got the one and only Matt on the call with us today as well. So everybody would know Matt here for sure. All good, man. Boys, I want to start off with a couple of wins. So I'm going to pick one or two of you just to share, and anybody else, just drop in the chat. I want to know like one major win you've had in the last 7 days. It could be training, it could be anything, like family wise. You guys, I know John's going on a trip, so that might be a win for the next week, maybe after a fantastic trip. But anything that's happened in the last week, you really feel like you've achieved. Thompson, I know two cold plunges with me was an achievement last week. How was that?
All the training in Costa Rica came in clutch.
Yeah. So yeah, we did wow, that was a good 2 rounds of 4 minutes each, I think, at that point, in a full ice bath in Costa Rica. That was tough. Yeah, it was good. Chaz, any wins for you? I know you're hard on yourself sometimes. You don't put those out too much, but gotta say Chad's winning the game a lot, but I want to see if he shares some wins today, because I'm gonna highlight him on the call today because he needs a bit of a big up too.
Well, I'll go with a non-workout related one. I got a room painted in our house that my wife's been wanting for a while, so got that knocked off my to-do list. So that was a big win.
That's always a win. We just got a little bit of a calm. To be fair, mate, the way I do it, I let my wife do it. It's easier, because if I do it, it's going to be wrong anyway, and she'll probably change it and spend more money on it too. So, and then it's more money spent around the wheel, right? So
That's right.
things. I actually share a story when I teach with Ben, and it's actually related to muscle building. So I'll actually share the story today in terms of muscle building. So we need to understand how sometimes chasing muscle damage might not be the best indicator for motor unit, for muscle building, for hypertrophy. So obviously, when we create so much inflammation, the body's repair mechanisms kick into gear. So there's lots of inflammation there. So the way I relate this is I was actually traveling once, and I think I was in Hong Kong. I know Thompson's going to Hong Kong this week. I was actually in Hong Kong. And before I left, there was something wrong in my shower cubicle in at home, like big shower place. And all that needed replacing was like either a tire or a little shelf or something like that. And it would have cost about, I don't know, $100. So I'm like, yeah, we'll sort it out when I get back. So I get to Hong Kong and she sends me a photo and she's ripped the whole shower out. Like we need a new bathroom. Like she's done the whole thing. So now, Chad, I just let her do it. Like it's easier to do it because I would have done this and she'd have replaced it anyway. So easier to do it. But my goal and my point around hypertrophy and muscle building is if there's something that's like just a little bit skew if, so if you create a little bit of muscle damage, sometimes it's not, or too much muscle damage in this case, if there's lots of inflammation, the body just doesn't repair that one little bit of like the muscle fiber, for example. It replaces the whole thing. So that's where we want to be speaking to you on a weekly basis. Like I know Chad and Thompson especially, and Chris as well, if he's I don't know whether he's turned his video off, but we actually spoke on this today or yesterday on our call with Chris, where I'm actually asking you, how is your muscle soreness? Because if muscle soreness is too high, then I want to start changing that program a little bit so you can actually hit the frequency that we need for muscle building, if muscle building is your goal, and the soreness isn't overriding anything, because I might actually be just keeping you at a plateaued level of building muscle and not actually building the muscle that you want if we're just trying to overstimulate or overproduce like too much soreness in a muscle, if that makes sense. Right. So that was just a little quick introduction to muscle soreness and muscle damage and how much my wife likes to spend on a bathroom. But it was a lot. I don't want to say too much on that one. But Jeff, good to see you, man. Good to see you in the group. Who else came in? Shores. So is that your first name? Shores? No? I'm the this is the first time you're on a call with me, brother. Introduce yourself. It's good to meet you.
I'm Mike.
Say it again, bro.
Mike Shaw.
Mike Shaw. Good to meet you, Mike.
Nice to meet
Great
you.
to have you on, man.
Thank you.
Good to in. So Marty, loads of stress and lack of sleep lately, but still in your workouts, adhering to the diet. Fantastic. John, Greg started going over your DNA results. Beautiful. So anything to highlight on there? Anything specific that's coming up so far? We're still waiting for the call. You're muted, man.
He mentioned that the test seemed to show that I'll do better if I have a little bit more carbs when I'm cutting. So he's gonna read and but he said that I have like the right genes for like a CrossFit athlete and not bad for muscle building, so.
Yeah, it's weird when you start to look at genetics that way. It just highlights where you can optimize things, but on the other end of the scale. So it might just be tougher for you to put on muscle. Not so much like you shouldn't focus on that. It's just like it's just going to be a harder process. So we really have to dial in when we do those things. So I'll give an example of my muscle building, or even my genetics in total. My muscle building capacity is pretty good, but my endurance is very, very poor. So straight away, that indicates I need to work on that type of stuff. Because when you start to unpack, well, I shouldn't do this training because I'm more prone to hypertrophy. When you actually unpack the rest of the genetics, endurance and cardiovascular work is probably better for me because I have SNPs around my heart health, right? So I have a Lp(a) SNP, which could kick me in the ass further down the line if I don't address it. I've got something called angiotensin II markers where I'm very good at contraction-based stuff. But it could cause high blood pressure if certain things are not taken care of in lifestyle, nutrition, and supplementation, and so on, right? So, just getting the genetics done just highlights exactly what I need to focus on in terms of nutrition, where my limitations are, and where I need to really push all of the things to optimize what I want to optimize, you know? And I know a few of you have had them done. Chad, I know you've had yours done. It's highlighted a lot of stuff for us. Hands up if you've actually had them done. I know Chris and Thompson, you're going to be getting yours done soon. Marty, you've had yours done as well. Ken, you've had yours done too. Good. Cool. Yeah, it just allows us to, and yeah, perfect. Just allows us to really take the guesswork out of what you need to do. Like it just sets the plan straight away. Like obviously then we have to follow the plan and we'll coach you around that type of stuff because sometimes you're going to come across hard times, which We'll uncover these little bits today. And I know a few of you were on Dan's call the other week, I think maybe 2 weeks ago, on identity and discipline and so on. And that's a huge part, man. Like, I'll probably cover a little bit of that today as well, because part of that process for guaranteeing 100% success with your results is going to be part of that too. But I want to provide you, like I've mentioned today in the WhatsApp group, a little framework we use as a team. And it's similar to what I've used a long time with coaching clients all my life, right? So I think Ben makes it a little bit more simpler as well, the way he structures things. I love the way his mind works on frameworks. But what I'm going to share with you today is the framework that we use. And then I'm going to highlight how we use this with Chad, who's on the call today, and the results that he's had from it in the past, I think 30 weeks, maybe just over 6 months, has been nothing short of exceptional. Like, you'll see his photographs in this as well. And I did ask Chad's permission to share this type of information as well. He's like, yep, no problem at all. But when you see the pictures and you see the numbers associated with those, and we're not even finished, like, he's got some real good progress to make. He's got more to do. The potential on Chad is phenomenal. Mate, I think everybody's gotta catch up with you, Matt, to be fair. Everybody's gotta catch. Just give us a little flex, brother. Come on. Let's take a look. There he is. Guns. He's got impressive arms, boys. Let's be fair. He's got impressive arms. So yeah, I've got a little presentation. Just again, it's like five slides, nothing crazy. I like to actually be more interactive with you boys than like sit on slides and just babble a little bit around those. I want to see where you are in this framework. I want to see. Obviously, you've got coaches as well, but if we can unpack a few things here that you can take back to your coaches too, it's just going to allow you to take that next step. If it's going to accelerate it or just keep you boom back on track and in zone with your coach as well, this is what these calls are for. We want to make sure we're unpacking all the roadblocks for you and making sure you've got a clear runway, right? So let me just do this. One sec. By the way, I need to share one of Clarkie's videos later if I get a chance. The delts on that boy the other day was insane. He sent me a video through of his lateral raise, and it made me want to go in the gym and do a lateral raise. I was like, shit, I got to catch this guy up as well. His delts are kicking off. Okay, so let me just do this. I'm just going to hit the present. So, boys, if you do have any questions as I start to go through this, I can't see everybody. So, Matt, if you're on, if you're still on at that time and anybody's got any questions, drop them in the chat, or just Matt will let me know, or just unmute yourself as well. That's no problem too. So the first thing, and this might even come to the identity discipline thing that we covered a couple of weeks ago with Dan, is how many of you heard of this or heard Ben speak about it, or have any of your coaches spoken to you about this, about the MVP process we think of? Yeah. So MVP is the M stands for mission, the V stands for values, and the P then stands for process. So if we start to unpack exactly what your mission is in life, right? I'm not asking anybody to share it right now in terms of that right on this call, but if you haven't thought of it, or you don't know it, I encourage you to think of it. Because if there's a mission that you're really, really wanting to succeed on, whatever we put in your path to help you succeed on that mission should get nailed down, like, without doubt, right? So part of my mission is around family. It's about my legacy for my family. So there's certain things that I put in place that remind me every day on what I'm doing, why I'm doing what I'm doing. So even my alarm on my phone, sometimes I try and keep it out of my room. I actually wake up without an alarm now, but when I do set my alarm, if I'm getting up early for a flight or something like that, there's actual words that could pop up on my alarm, and there's a picture of my kids that wake up. Because what's the first thing, if I'm gonna wake up early to go to the gym, what's the first thing your brain gonna say? I don't want to get up today. Right? It could be like, it's too early, or if this is so comfortable, it's nice and warm, you want to stay in comfort. But that picture should override that comfort for sure. If that's part of your mission, or that message should override that discomfort in that moment, right? If that's your mission. And then that ties you to your values, right? So some of your values for some of you might be family, Right. I know, Marty, you discussed some stuff with Dan like a couple of weeks ago on the call where like family and your wife and so on, they might be your highest priority over your fitness. I know you were an endurance athlete in the past, so that might have taken priority before, but now your priorities shift based off your values, right? So it's having the hierarchy of values in place. So as coaches, that's important for us to know, because there's a client that I worked with previously, and some of his values, the alignment of them, health and his fitness was like third or fourth down the line. Right. So how am I going to try and think about, well, I need this guy to be in shape. He wants to lose body fat. He wants to get fit. And well, what was his first value? His first value was his family, and then it came his business, and then health was further down the line. But I knew his goal and his mission was to be an ambassador for his kids. He's a very family-oriented man. So if he's not here, he's building a great business. If he's not here to experience that wealth with his family because he's ill or he's not around anymore, like the mission fails. So we tie in his health to that, and his health became the biggest driver to drive for his family to drive obviously the sale of his company and so on and so on. So if we can start to analyze these two things with your coach, and I mean in great detail, right? You start to unpack the real reasons you're getting up and doing what you got to do, even when it's hard. The process for us coaches, bang, we can just start to map that plan really simply, and we know how to hold you accountable to certain things even better, right? So that's the process side is our thing. Obviously, you'll be doing the process too, but as a coach, I can map a process way easier if I understand this, right? I know Clarkie's values. I know his mission. I know Thompson's too. I know Chad's values as well, right? So as long as I know those, I know what we need to pull. And like, to be fair, you'll see with Chad today when I run you through some of the framework stuff. Boys, this man hasn't missed a beat for 6 months. Every week, hasn't missed a beat. He's an absolute beast. He's a beast, and you'll see surely. But I urge you, encourage you to, if you haven't started looking at this stuff yet, to take a maybe the weekend or an hour on a Saturday or a Sunday, just sit down and start to write a few things down, start to think about it in detail, and maybe share it with your coach next week. If that's a conversation you want to have, they'll be more than happy to talk to you about that type of stuff too. So from there, as a framework, we look at a 16-hour audit. So I put 8 hours here as work. On average, people work 8 hours unless you're Tim Ferriss and you got to do 4 hours a day, and then you can do something else for the rest of those 4 hours. But I've left this blank because this might be a good strategy for you guys. How many of you actually raise your hand? How many of you done a 16-hour audit of your day? Marty, you did it. Did you do that with Dan? Yeah. Thompson, I know your day in and out. We're locked in for your day. But here's the thing, when you start to analyze your 16-hour audit, you can automatically see where you're going to shuffle things way easier because you section out. So basically what we're trying to do, you can do this in 30-minute segments. Some people do it in 15-minute segments. That depends on how they want to do things. Some people do it in hours. But you're just analyzing exactly what you're doing in each part of those blocks in a day. And 9 times out of 10, most people are wasting about 2 or 3 hours a day easily doing whatever they're doing. Most of the time, social media scrolling. Most of the time, it's just sat down doing nothing or going certain places. And even this part of thing here, the social side of things. So that I put social because one could be social media, but two, your social connections, right? I know, and I don't want to share too much about certain clients and so on, but like you'll find the social connections. I actually had this with athletes when I used to coach athletes. You'll find that how many of you, so Marty, you've been an athlete, yeah? And now I'm going to talk a little bit about team sports as well. So I know you're an endurance athlete, so I don't know whether you had a big team around you or not in terms of team training. Anybody else on the call been an athlete in a team specifically? Matt, nod your head. Jeff, you nod your head. What do you play?
All high school, nothing higher level than that,
Yeah.
but football and rugby.
Football and rugby, yeah. So what you'll find with, and this might be a good analogy to think of, right? So your social network can be a winning strategy or something that's going to drag you down and hold you back. And the way I saw this with athletes, I used to train soccer players. I used to train fighters, but soccer players were where I saw it most. We would have 10 out of 10 players, like amazing players on the team. And sometimes if they weren't here and like really disciplined in what they had to do. Sorry, I've just let another person into the room. One sec. Just to make sure he's in. Yeah, if that 10 out of 10 player wasn't in the right mindset to keep focused and keep disciplined on what he had to do, and he relied on that social network and he was weak enough to be sucked into certain things, it was always the 2 to 3 out of 10 players that would drag the 10 out of 10s down to a 6. Does that make sense? So what does that entail? Just have another drink, you'll be fine. It's only one, like, and then you're 10 deep and fuck, you ain't getting up for training the next day, or your performance goes down, your recovery isn't there, right? So you'll find that your social network sometimes might change over time when you're changing who you are, in terms of like what Dan was speaking about the other week, in terms of identity. I'm now a person that does this, right? I know client of mine, Chris, on this call, his identity has changed in the last 18 months dramatically. Like, the man just lives and breathes everything around his health and fitness. Like, I can't speak highly enough of that guy on this call. He's unbelievable. I don't think you've drunk a drop of alcohol in like 18 months. It's crazy, right? And that was the go-to for Chris with the social network that he had. And now he goes to events with his old school buddies and stuff, and they're like, he's taking his he sent me a video of himself at the pool with his mates, and he's like, Chris is fucking ripped, and his guys are there drinking, and he's like, no, I'm good, right? So it's just sometimes you can still have those environments and still have those friends, but there's that boundary that Chris is like, boom, that's my boundary, that's my line that I've drawn, and I don't go over it because I feel fucking great. I'm not going back to that, you know. So that's something that's may come up if you're early in your stage on your journey and things like that. So analyzing that 16-hour audit in where you spend most of your time is going to be a great mastery to achieve. Like, really get deep on it, really look where you are, think, okay, I could keep an hour here aside for this. It's going to take me a little bit further where I need to go, you know. Now, once that is done, the framework now is, okay, what are the daily top fives that are going to make me win every day? So once I've set that, what is the timeline on how I'm going to achieve this? And I'll talk you through how we did this with Chad in a second. What's my weekly communication with my coach? Am I going to check in every week? Because essentially every week is an assessment. So if somebody signs in for coaching for like 90 days, you got 12 hits. That's it. You got 12 hits. And we've only got a short duration to hit that goal that we want to achieve. You know, 12 check-ins, 12 wins, done. Right? How many videos do you send to your coach? Things like that, right? If you want to maximize contraction, how many questions you answer or send to your coach. I know Chad, we'll go through his in a second. Thompson sends me videos. Chris will send me videos multiple times a week. Some of you, I know it's tough because some gyms right now, they say that you're not allowed to film in gyms at the minute for some gyms. Is that correct? For some of you, for sure. Or are you guys good to film in the gyms? Jeff, you good for filming? Marty's good. Jeff, you good for filming in your gym as well?
I predominantly work out in the home gym, so I kind of have free rein to.
Beautiful. Look out. So who you coaching with right now?
Sorry, say it again.
Who's your coach right now?
Chris.
Chris. You sending videos straight through to Chris as well? Beautiful. Man, he's phenomenal with feedback. He's unbelievable. Like, very technical. He's great. I'm sure you've seen already. And are you booking those coaching calls as well? Like, that's super important. Like, so important. You can navigate so much in 30 minutes and getting like deep dives into what you need to talk on. Sometimes it's training and reps and sets and so on. Sometimes it's like we have to chat about like maybe the deeper stuff on life, right? What's the biggest challenge for you right now that's like really, really holding you back, right? So I don't know whether is Bill still on the call at the moment, Matt? Can you see in the? Yeah, Bill's in.
Yep, I'm here.
Good to see you, Bill. Good to hear from you, man. I was just
Yeah.
pulling in because I heard on the call 2 weeks ago that you were obviously in the WhatsApp group as well. You were struggling a little bit. I know you got a lot of work going on, things like that. It's like that's where those calls are probably better to really deep dive into that and go through some strategies on those coaching calls, you know. Sometimes it's not
Yep.
about reps and sets. Sometimes it's a little bit deeper on that 16-hour audit. What we got to reshuffle? What's the priority for the day? Or what's the priority for the week? You know, those coaching calls are so important. And that's why we put all these things in place in our framework. Like we're stacking all of the things that we can do for you to guarantee 100% success, whatever that looks like. You know, as long as we win every day, the guarantee for 100% success is always there, right? And then obviously you have to look at the checklist, the KPIs, what are the goals, what are the mini targets we need to work on and hit every week? And if we don't hit them, what's the change we're making after this week to make sure we hit it next week? Sometimes, like if the ball's going down the road pretty well, we don't need to change anything. Great, don't change a thing. But sometimes if we stall, we haven't got time, especially if we've only got 12 hits in that 90 days, we've got to hit the ground running, right? We've got to make a change fast. Especially if that's the type of transformation or body physique goal that you have, you know. And this brings me to Chad. So Chad came in, and let me just pull my screen down here. So start point was here. So this was his first set of pictures he sent through. His body weight was 178, around 25% body fat. So his lean body mass was about 133 pounds. And his long-term goal is to hit 180 at 12%. So that's the long-term goal. So first off, our decision together as a team was to start with fat loss. I want to get him a little bit more insulin sensitive. I want a little bit more drop of inflammation. So we decided fat loss was the main goal. And the goal was to get him down to around that 10 to 12% mark. So 12%, I'm happy there. And then we can start building some muscle. And sometimes people start building muscle there, but honestly, if I would hedge my bets, for most people, it would just get insulin sensitive as possible first. That's the best bet, because if you've got inflammation going on, up like you might be a little bit suboptimal with insulin sensitivity. You might struggle a little bit to start putting on muscle on top of that, right? Hormonally, like if there's too much high inflammation, you're going to start converting testosterone to estrogen, things like that. Now you're putting yourself in a bit of a cascade where you're climbing a wall you can't get over, you know, digging a hole you can't get out of. That's another one. But eventually you're going to have to drop body fat, you know. So getting lean first is my preference, and it's way easier to stack muscle on top of that, and we can do it very, very strategically. So the goal with Chad here, we set his top five. We change some of them, and some of you guys will have maybe a top three. You might not have to have a five, right? But some of those will change based off the circumstances you have or what you're going to go through week to week. But the goal in terms of the timeline was to hit 0.75 to 1% per week of fat loss. So Chad tracked his body weight every day without fail. So I said, I told you before we started this one, this guy hasn't missed a beat on anything we've asked him to do. But he committed to that 100% on our first kickoff call. It's like, if you can't commit to that, it's no problem. We just need to know what you can do. And then we can structure the timeline around certain things, you know. But the goal to hit 0.75 to 1% per week, the 0.75, I always give a little bit of a bracket to give us some buffer room because there may be sickness, there may be certain things going on in life. It might just be that. And especially for those guys that have had genetics done, you might find that you actually have genetics that enable you to lose fat slower. I'm one of them, right? So I just have to do it at a slower rate. So my expectation on fat loss is just instead of like 12, 16 weeks, I might need 20 to 24. That's okay. I just have to, and it doesn't matter on the size of the deficit for me too, right? So it's like a water hose. So if you imagine the hose hole is that much, it doesn't matter how much water I push through this. That's only the amount that I can get through the hose. That's similar to me with fat loss. There's only so much I'm going to lose, so I can keep the deficit where it is to lose that. I can create a bigger one and just make it harder because that's all the fat I'm going to lose. I'm just going to be hungrier whilst I lose fat slow. It's just stupid, you know? And the weekly communication with check-ins, daily videos, questions happens every week without fail. Without fail. I think he sends me most days two videos. Exactly. Not in the front end when we did the fat loss part of things. He's actually building muscle now. It would probably be a chat will be Chad will probably be able to tell this a little bit more, but it was probably around 5 to 6 videos, 3 to 4 times a week in the first 8 to 10 weeks until we started fine-tuning the way he moved, started improving his strength and so on. I was like, yep, you don't need to send that one anymore. Leave that one out. Send only these ones now. And we've started whittling him down. So now he's down to like two. So his form's solid. He's rock solid. Hasn't missed a call. And things that I check on his check-in form, but also on his so on the training software as well. Obviously, we check the body weight to check the average weight loss, but I'm checking hunger, energy, sustainability, because I'm seeing where that, especially for fat loss, I'm seeing what's going to happen with these cues. The deeper he goes into fat loss, the harder it's going to get. So that gives me strategies to work on. So as long as I had all of this information, this guy's going to win, no problem. And he just followed through. Before I go on and share any more, I'm just going to unshare the screen before we start to see the back end of it. Any questions so far in terms of the top five, the framework? Does that all make sense so far, boys? If you can get as a coach and you're my client, if you can give me those things every week, I can guarantee it's pretty much to the day when you're going to get the result. And if you can't follow through with anything, it's not a problem. It's just I need to analyze what the problem is, and we just move that roadblock out of the way, or we readjust certain things on the on a timeline. So we might stretch it out a little bit. We might go, okay, well, let's put our foot down for the next 2 weeks and speed it up a bit because this is coming up. Like that communication is key. Options we can make and actually follow through on those. It's like night and day, and you'll see. How fast that was with Chad. We actually set a goal for 90 days, which is 12 weeks, and you'll see what he did in the time frame now. But any questions before I move on? You all good, John? Yeah. So the first part, we set 12 weeks. It took us 8 to get to this point. So after 8 weeks, he dropped 13 pounds. Here, he's looking around 12% body fat. Lean mass had increased by 12 pounds. So this was in a fat loss phase. And all we did was, I think, roughly around 3 full body sessions a week. There was some cardiovascular training there. We improved VO2 max. We improved lots of zone two work. As we started going into the depths a little bit more, there wasn't any like interval training, things like that. But all we focused on was foundation-based training, skill acquisition. We improved his big lifts, and we got him control and execution on muscular contractions. That was the whole focus, 3 times a week. And he still put on 12 pounds. This wasn't even a muscle building phase. So he increases lean body mass. And like we've had people in the past on social media tell us that there's no way you can put on X amount of pounds on somebody in 24 weeks or 20 weeks or 12 weeks, whatever it is. And we do it. Like it can be done. It's just some people have never done it or don't know how to do it, which is fine. It's okay. But to say somebody can't do something doesn't make sense when we're showing you night and day. The man's on the call. It can be done for sure. It's just we have to tick off certain things in the box to go, if we're going to go at this, and we're going to set that deadline. What can you commit to? If you can commit to that, we're good to go. Right? So after 8 weeks, we could flip the switch and it was go time. So now we've like flipped it around. Now we're hitting muscle. And this is him currently at 30 weeks. He's now 176.5, around 14%. He's not as lean as the 12. You can see he's put a tiny bit on, but nothing crazy. And now we're up to 151 pounds of lean mass. So he's increased 18 pounds in the space of 30 weeks, which is, it's not a bad rate of gain, right? especially when you're dropping body fat at their level as well. And the goal is to get to 180 or 12%. So I think Chad put it on me a little bit the other day. I think, was it 190 you want to change to, Chad?
185, like 185, 190, like to
So,
get up to there.
yeah, man. And what I would say there, I would ask Chad this question. What changed for you to go from 180 to maybe 185, 190?
Well, it wasn't really much of a change. I mean, I've always, when we came in, it was kind of that 180 to 190, and we just thought we'd start at the 180 just as, a good starting point.
Yeah. So how's the, you go, finish.
No, so I've always been comfortable in that 180 to 190 range. So I feel like now that I've
Yeah.
gotten to this point, I think, 185 to 190 would be, a good spot for me to be.
And what are your thoughts on the process so far in terms of what we're doing, like the cadence of communication, like anything that's stood out for you the most in terms of how we've got the results so far? What have you found beneficial?
The two things for me that made the biggest difference, one is for the meal plans is weighing my food, right? Actually having a scale and actually knowing what I'm eating instead of just guessing. I'm
Yep.
saying, I think I'm eating, the right amount of protein, or I think I have the right number of calories. So the weighing the food is huge. And then the sending the videos and getting your feedback, because there's so many exercises that I thought I knew I was doing or thought I would do right. And you always have some tweaks, little critiques of how to make it better. And it's really helped
Yeah.
focus the workouts better, to help get the lifts better, to help really activate the muscles better. I mean, so sending the videos has been extremely important.
Nice, man. Good. And the benefit of that too, in I think again 30 weeks, he's added 83 pounds to his back squat in 30 weeks, which is no mean feat, right? And I dare say it, we haven't taken a back squat to real failure. Like we've never really pushed it to that level. It's always been output on hack squat machine, leg extensions, things like that. So skill acquisition's always been really at the front end of my mind in terms of those lifts. And obviously exercise selection for Chad is very specific as well. So it's not a full feet on floor back squat due to mechanical stuff with Chad, especially his limb lengths and things like that. You'll see he's got very long limbs. So we've had to do very specific things with his squat. So he squats on heel elevations if his back squats, or front squat is preferred one, so we can get deep into the squat, hit the quads a little bit more. So we've actually pinpointed the exact lifts he needs to squat with. It's been phenomenal for him, you know. And yeah, 83 pounds on his squat over the 30 weeks has been great, like real good. I don't know, Clark, he wants to grow his legs next up, so he's up for the squats next. Yeah, any feedback for the boys that you would give them, any words of wisdom? Or any tips based off what you've gone through so far in terms of this?
In terms of the one tip is, where you're, like, know your food, like know what you're eating, to really stay on track with that. Second thing is just enjoy the process, right? And that's a big thing for me personally. Like I enjoy the process. I enjoy the workouts. I enjoy getting in there training, whether I'm always feeling good or not, but I enjoy the process, right? All right.
Good
I work
man.
out in the morning, like, 5 a.m., 5:30, and sometimes I want to sleep in, but I just enjoy the process. So, kind
Yeah,
of
bro.
enjoy, I guess the training part of it, enjoy
Yeah.
getting in there and doing all parts
Two
of it.
things to open there. Like, I don't think I would have been able to predict the level of accuracy on the fat loss or muscle gain without you weighing your food. It's impossible. Because if you change foods too much, your weights do this. And it's not that you can't do that. You can do that by all means. But if you're on very specific precision on dates and things like that, weighing those things out and being very sort of like diligent on very similar foods, unfortunately, for a specific time period, you don't need to do it forever. But I think Ben brought this up on a call back in the past. He's like, if you really want to predict your results, eat the same thing every day. It's boring as shit, but you'll be in and out of a transformation much faster, right? Eat the same things every day because your body weight is just the same. Like you can predict everything. If you're in a deficit, you know how much is going to drop. You'll know, like Chad sometimes was losing a little bit too fast. I was like, boom, pull your calories up a touch. I think, yes, Trav's on as well today. Travis, at the moment, he's gone through a little bit of fat loss at the minute. And we're just playing with his macros and keeping his body weight up as he drops body fat. So we're actually manipulating a few things out there. So Trav's another one that does that too. So, like, being able to really know how much is going in helps us massively. Now, I'll throw a spanner in the works there as well, because we changed a little bit of Chad's nutrition this past couple of weeks just to test a few things out. So in terms of cholesterol levels and things like that, we started to up his fiber intake. Fiber is great for mopping up cholesterol in the system. So we started increasing that. We increased a couple of supplements. But what you'll notice with fiber sometimes, some people get a kick in more fat loss, right? So at this point, we're trying to build muscle, and as we increase this fiber by a good 20, 30 grams, and he weighed in, he was like 1.5 pounds down in a week. I was like, shit, we need, fuck, we can't keep that up. So we manipulated again, literally within a week. I was like, boom. And now he's back up to 176.5. So we still changed a few foods, gave him flaxseed instead of the foods, the nutrient dense food. And when you start to look at things like that, you can see in the digestive system how more fibers in there, you get more short chain fatty acids. So your microbiome starts to feed off that type of stuff as well. Right. So you might not extract as much of the nutrients out of the food that's coming in. So things like that can play a key too. So yeah, we had to change that up because we didn't want to be losing body weight trying to put muscle mass on. And the other thing to touch on too, which Chad brought up, was the process. Like, getting those pictures looks great, right? Looks phenomenal. He's put on 18 pounds now in the past 30 weeks. But the thing he mentioned was the process. It's the process and who he's becoming and the man he's changing into along the way. Like, the amount of hard shit that he's gone through in the workouts, I've given him some tough workouts. The amount of stress resilience he's going through. I know I had a good chat to Chris Clark, who's on the call today, about stress resilience, and he's gone through a lot and probably still going through a bit too much at the minute as we had a chat today. But when he first joined, he might have gone down a different route to quench that stress a little bit, let's say, right? So if that stress hit, he might have taken a different path on how he was going to manage that stress. Whereas now he looks in the eye and just smiles at it. Like, the man just takes it on his shoulders and goes, okay, give me what you got and let's go. Because he's been through a lot, right? So I think the process does that for you more. Like I said, just smile at it. Okay, and thank you. Let's go. Let's see what you're made of, you know? So I think the process does a lot more for people than they realize. Boys, that was it on highlighting Chad, the framework. So I'm going to open it up to you guys. Is everybody nailing that type of framework down right now? So I hope you don't mind. I'm going to call on a few people. I know Marty, you probably got that framework, most of that framework laid down right now. Would that be correct?
Dan and I just did a lot of work on values. We did the DeMartini values process. That was really a light bulb moment for me. The process that we're working through was really clear to me. As we're talking, I think I'm realizing that I will talk more about this with Dan, but the mission part is, I think there's a lot more work that I can do around that. I kind of have a general idea, but I always work better with specificity. Different times in my life, the mission has been clear, and now it's more general. I don't want to talk too much about it, but we're moving to Portugal, my family and
Cool.
I. So we're from the Chicago area, and a lot of that is, we don't need to go into all the reasons, but it's a lot for my son. So he has something different than, a lot of the things that we're seeing in the United States right now. And so, but it's also to create a community around health and fitness. Psychedelics, regenerative farming, sanctuary type of things for animals and people. So that's we're looking to build something big when we get there. But I think at the moment, with all the stress of other things in life, having a clear idea of how to tackle the pieces of that mission, or to like you said, right? It's on your phone. Like you like distill it into an image that can help you like go, oh, got it. Like, I think that's a part of my mission that I'm a little cloudy on.
Yeah. It's that daily self-talk. I think Dan might have talked on that on a couple of weeks ago. Like, You start to repeat that every day, it becomes something, right? And it sounds like Portugal is going to be a great mission for you, man. That sounds phenomenal. Mate, that's like a 2-hour flight for me, so I'll be there. I'll definitely be there for sure.
Cool. We'll see you there.
Psychedelics going, we'll have a blast. Yeah, what part of Portugal?
Cascais, most likely, just outside of Lisbon.
Beautiful, beautiful, man. Ken, give us an update, man. Any of the pros? I know you're working with Greg on a few bits as well at the moment, right? So let us know how you're getting on with things.
Making progress. I just completed a workout right before I joined the call.
Beautiful, man.
It's interesting that I spoke yesterday about my purpose, and it wasn't real clear what my goals were. I mean, I've got some minor ones that he's helping me with, but it's kind of like, what's my life goal? And he asked me repeatedly, it seemed repeatedly, that, so what do you think about? What makes you happy? What do you think about most of the time? And I'm pretty clear that I'm a teacher of some sort. I don't know exactly how that's going to fit, but I've taught the unlikable, typically junior high and high school Sunday school for years. Decades actually. And I got to the point that, oh, okay, now I'm realizing that most of you kids don't want to be here, and that you're here because your parents made you come. And so when I start having those conversations with kids, I call them kids, some are in their 50s now, but it's interesting what I learn. And so I go in with the attitude, okay, what are you going to teach me today? Because they're not expecting that. They're expecting to be that I'm going to give them some wisdom or something. And it's like in the back of my head, I'm constantly thinking, okay, what have I got to learn today? What are these kids going to teach me?
It's a, it might be a tough, like you might be a successful in all these different, like you sound very successful in all these different areas, and navigating this part of your life is like, it's new. And, but I would probably find that exciting because you've been successful in so many different areas. There's no reason why it wouldn't be a success with what you're going to do next, but I'd just be excited, man. Like do us something that's going to really wake you up in the morning and put that rocket up your ass and go, yeah, let's get out of bed today and do something I got to do, you know? Like find something that you really, really love and want to do.
Yeah, that's what
Might
I'm
take you
looking
back.
for. And I've
Might take
got
you
some
back.
ideas. I got some ideas that I went and talked to the people that I work with at the golf course. And I go, okay, this idea is an hour and a half old. And they start asking me all these questions. And I go, I don't know. I just came up with this like an hour and a half ago when I spoke with Greg. And
Yeah,
so I
I'm packing
pursued
with
it a little
Greg,
bit.
man. He's a great person to speak to on that stuff. He's very he can be philosophical at times. You might need subtitles now and again with his Irish accent. We'll see if we can get the subtitles on his Zoom calls maybe. But he's a good lad. He's a very good lad. Thanks for sharing, man.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Jeff, give us an update, bro. How are you getting on with your framework?
So I think we had kind of an initial framework, like some overarching goals that started about in January. And I think overall we're kind of moving in the right direction. So like the overall framework was I didn't have enough like energy to do what I needed to do at home. My ability to focus during the day wasn't very good. I was kind of scattered. Like I had a million things to think about, and so I couldn't focus on any one. And those were kind of the primary drivers, along with the physical aspect of it. So the physical aspect has been more a tool to help improve those other things. And we were talking like my kid was sick last week, something that previously probably would have thrown me off for a day or a couple days. I was able to kind of modify the schedule, get back the next day, keep the schedule, and kind of keep the routine. But my general observation was I probably was better in that scenario for my son than I would have been previously, because I had the mental reserve to take care of it and the kind of the focus to say, like, this is the thing I'm going to focus on now. All of my energy can go to this, and then when I'm done with that, then I move on to the next task. So, still would like to continue to improve that because I think you can always get sharper that way, but it seems like we're moving in the right path. So.
I'm sure Chris will have some tests to go through as well. Like he'll assess everything for sure. Like VO2 max, obviously he's assessing strength at all times, but be interesting to see maybe any cardiovascular tests you may have done. So I'm assuming you hit quite a bit of cardiovascular work at the beginning, yeah?
Yeah, so we went through early on. We haven't done the testing in a little while because we've gone the last probably 3 to 4 months have been more of a just hypertrophy phase. But early on, we did about two or three of those 5-minute bike tests, which are pretty miserable.
The hell, man.
So,
Wait till you come to a camp. Like when you get those going to the camp and you've got like 12 people blaring at you, they're like, oh, it brings out another side of you, man. You'll probably hit a PB for sure. Good, man.
yeah.
Yeah, good, man. So it sounds like there could be a BDNF component there too. Because one thing that'll be highlighted, I couldn't remember whether you said you did your genetics with us yet or not, but it could be a BDNF component too. So it's brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which can really be enhanced with cardiovascular training. So that's obviously going to help with memory, brain function, things like that. So that can be a great outlet. And obviously you got the double-edged thing then as well of more mitochondria, more energy production, things like that are going to help glucose management, things like that, but can be a great brain activator too.
Awesome. Awesome.
Trev, how you getting on, bro? How's the back?
Oh, good, Gav. Sorry, my internet's a little wonky today, so if you can't hear me or I'm cutting it out, disregard. Back's good. Everything's good on my end. I talked to Gav this morning, guys. So when he talks about the I just kind of I can't go booking the call. Like it's important, right? Just to touch base and get an idea on things and understand where you're at and he's at and get a feel for that. I think that's an important piece of the entire process for sure.
Yeah, we have, to be fair, man, we have some great conversations, myself and Trav, when we book in. Like every week, we deep dive into a lot of topics. Sometimes training, sometimes life, sometimes we're talking about kids and athletics and how to raise our kids and what we're doing with our kids. And it's some great conversations, man. So if there's anything like that that you want to unpack with your coaches too, I'm sure like all of our coaches are dads, like every one of them. So if there's struggles like that too, like we might not have all the answers, but it might be just an outlet to just let some steam off for a little bit and chat a little bit like that. But we've chatted a lot about like our kids training, and Trav's kids are into sports. My son's into sports and martial arts, and just our thought processes around how we're leading our kids as well, right? I can't remember the share with you, Trav, but my son started high school. So in the UK, it's a little bit different to the US, I think. He started high school. His first day was yesterday. And he was so excited to go, but I was in bed. I normally wake up on my own, but I woke up to his alarm and it was 5:45. I was like, oh, he's excited to get up. I hear him in the bathroom brushing his teeth. He goes downstairs. So I was like, I just heard the back door go. And I looked out my window. I'm in my home gym right now in the garden, and he's in the gym training before school. He gets out, goes showers. He's got one of these like uniforms with the blazer and shit. And he's getting dressed, he's making himself scrambled eggs for breakfast. I'm like, he's on the money. But he sees me get up and train. Like the kids will absorb everything you do. Absolutely everything. I'm fortunate my son's really inquisitive. I know Trav's kids, like he's got them dialed in, and they love it as well. His kids are little mini beasts too. So yeah, boys, if you've got things like that you think is going to benefit you from a conversation with coaches too. That's where we unpack. It's like I said at the beginning of the call, it's not just reps and sets. It's everything that encompasses you as a person to help you go where you need to go. Thanks, Trav. Thanks, man. Boys, do we have any questions today that you could be wrapping on in your head that you want to get answered at all? Or I know we've covered the framework. I know quite a lot of you are going to be using that framework, but anything that's top of mind for you boys at the moment? Anybody? Matt's anything for you, bro? Or before Mats comes in. You just unmute yourself, go.
I was just going to say about, so I got my genetics tested, right? And try not to deep dive and change everything all at once, right? So just picking a few things, what would you guys think would be a couple good things to focus on going forward? I'm just 2 weeks in now, body's feeling good, so just trying to get adapted to having a program and everything again. So
Do you say you've had your genetics done or you're thinking of it?
I have had them done, yeah. So
Okay.
yeah.
So it would be hard to say, man, based on the reports. I'd obviously need to see the reports, but have you seen
Right.
any like high priorities on there? So you work with
What?
Andrew, Mike, yeah?
Andrew, correct. Yeah. I've seen a lot of higher priority stuff in the heart and cardiovascular department, right?
Okay.
Muscle building seemed to be pretty good. But yeah, most of it was in the cardiac.
Cardiovascular.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's going to be a few areas to think of there. So you've got ACE, SNPs, you've got Lp(a). Like Lp(a) would pro to be honest, if you've got a I've on mine, I'm a heterozygous. So there's basically three ways to look at the SNP. So there's a wild type, which typically sometimes more often than not is like you're good. It's functioning very, very well. It's a clear runway. Heterozygous typically means the SNP is running at about 30% decrease. So it's a slower, dirtier SNP. And a
Right.
homozygous would be running at about a 70% decrease. So you're going to need a lot of things to start supporting that. You might need other things to open up in pathways biochemistry wise to help support that SNP because one thing slows down, it's going to affect other things in the chemistry pathway, so to speak, in the body with the cells and stuff. So we have to take a look at if that's impacted, what else is it going to impact further around too? So in terms of cardiovascular wise, if Lp(a) shows mine's heterozygous, I'll be putting things in place that are going to help support bringing that type of cholesterol down. Because if that's elevated, that can be causing inflammation, plaque formation on the arteries, and so on. So if that is elevated, obviously Andrew, like you've got Andrew as the coach, but we'll deep dive into that as a team and make sure you have everything on your plate to make sure that's taken care of. So typically, things like niacin is going to be pretty good for that. So niacin, if you take it as a supplement, start with about 500 milligrams. Now, only do this if there's an Lp(a) thing,
Yeah.
but start with about 500 milligrams. But it's gonna you need the one that flushes, so you're gonna get a flush through your body. So typically, like you'll get an itchy face, like burning, and you feel quite hot in the face. So don't go chomping down 2 grams of that thing because you'll be hot all day. So start 500 milligrams. Like I said, with Chad, we use like flaxseed, ground flaxseed, about 20, 30 grams a day, pretty good. So start there. There are other things like L-carnitine might help as well in terms of that type of stuff. More high fiber diet, that would be very beneficial. And obviously, you've got around the cardiovascular system, we need to look at cardiovascular training as well. So training is specifically too. But it depends on what the SNPs are showing. Are they a wild type, a heterozygous, homozygous, things like that. So send the stuff on over to Andrew, and we'll start to deep dive in it on our team calls, and we'll pack it out.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate it. Thanks for the insight.
No problem. Anything else major coming up for you on as a high priority apart from cardiovascular stuff?
There was the saturated fats, right? Trying to keep saturated fats low, I think below 25 type of thing, right? So more lean meats and yeah, just making sure I'm not getting too much junky food in. I've been pretty good habit away in my food, trying to eat healthy, sources of carbs and everything. For
Yeah.
a long period of time, so yeah.
Perfect. I think it highlights like it's like blood work, right? You see something that's in there that could affect your health long term. Like for me, I'm like some people panic. Look, I have my wife's done, and she's on the test. It shows you there's one SNP on there called COMT, COMT. So it'll tell you if you're a warrior or a worrier. So what the COMT SNP does, or the COMT pathway in the body. It's this signal to metabolize dopamine or stress hormones out of the body. So if you're a warrior, that means you're going to be a very slow clearer of the stress hormones and dopamine and things like that. So they will hang around longer. So she'll get like more anxious if that's like if stress is elevated too much, she's slow to clear it out. She gets very anxious. So if I drive her with like, she doesn't drink coffee anymore, caffeine. No problem, Chad. Thanks so much, brother. If she has too much caffeine in the day, she'll get very jittery, and she'll get pretty anxious pretty quick. She doesn't drink caffeine anymore. But if you're a warrior, you'll clear that pretty fast, right? So things like that can be really like helpful in terms of what we're going to do with you.
Yeah,
So
that's something I've noticed. Even, years ago, I would take pre-workouts in the morning. Usually do early morning workouts, and I would take pre-workout. And then one morning, I took something, and I was, on the bike waiting for my trainer to come in, and I started freaking out. So I was walking around the track trying to calm down. But then I get the COMT as a warrior gene in there, right? So some of that stuff makes
bigger.
sense.
But it can be beneficial though too, right? So you got to think if stress isn't too high, but like as an overarching factor, and you have a slow COMT function, dopamine stays around for longer. So in a work scenario, you could probably get a shit ton done because you don't get that drop and you don't get that, okay, I need to go and pick up that dopamine hit again. Do you know what I mean? You can actually probably get a shitload of work done and be really, really successful at that. So it depends on the situation too. There's benefits to them and there's like negatives, but we want to see both sides of the coin before we start like boom, do this,
You can use one lever one way and use one the other way, right?
Exactly that.
Great.
Perfect. Yeah, send those through to Andrew, okay?
For sure. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Boys, great chat today. Thanks for sharing everything. Thanks for your time. I really appreciate you all coming on. It's been a great to meet the new guys that I've met today as well. So make sure you're chatting in with your coaches. Make sure you're getting that framework done. Coaching calls, questions, videos. Lock those in with the boys, okay? And as always, get in the WhatsApp community. Any questions you got any day, that's what we're there for, okay? Bill, thanks, brother. Boys, going to attack the day. Thompson, get to bed. Have a good sleep, man. Have a good day,
Take
boys.
care, guys. Thanks.